breaking news to tell you about this noon. Traffic is once again moving at the intersection of South Alston and Andrew Avenue in Durham after a chase ended there in a crash. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for an HU. Durham police and the Durham County Sheriff's Office were on scene of a crash this morning just before 10:30. DPD tells WREL they assisted the Sheriff's Office with apprehending a suspect. A small gray sedan's front bumper was smashed with debris in the street, as you just saw. Two ambulances were on scene, and WREL cameras captured one person that was being transported in an ambulance. Both roads have fully reopened. We are pushing for more information from the Sheriff's Office about what caused this crash and the investigation. A father and son charged in a shooting in a Raleigh neighborhood are expected in court in just a few hours.
Yeah, this happened last night on Orchard Trace Way off Rock Quarry Road. WRL's Chelsea Donovan is in the neighborhood right there where the shooting happened. Chelsea, have you been able to talk to anybody who saw anything there?
Yeah, some of these neighbors that I've spoke with that have lived here since the early 2000s say this is the first of its kind. They're completely alarmed today. They have never seen or experienced anything like this. Let me show you. We're on Orchard Way, Trace, and you can see both of these cars and this home here are riddled by bullets. The cars have been blown out, and many of the other homes and cars in this area have also been hit and struck by bullets as well. This is a shooting that happened on Orchard Trace Way last night. Raleigh police say when they arrived, they found a male with a gunshot wound. He was transported to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. Now, last night, a father and a son were arrested for these crimes. Let's show you them now. 41-year-old Ricardo Johnson and 19-year-old Ricardo Johnson Jr. were charged with several crimes, each charged with assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill or inflict serious injury, discharging a weapon into an occupied property, injury to personal property, and contributing to the delinquency of a juvenile. Now, according to warrants that we saw, Johnson Jr. threatened to physically injure another man by placing a gun before a family member. That threat that was communicated, according to warrants, by placing a firearm before the female victim, stating, "I'll kill him. He has 24 hours to get out." Now, warrants state that Johnson Sr. assaulted the same person using a firearm and fired shots into a home while someone was inside. So certainly a lot of chaos going on here. Both the father and son will be in a Wake County courtroom today at 2 p.m. going before a judge for their first appearance. We'll bring you, be there rather, and bring you updates starting in our later newscasts. Back to you.
Disturbing details for everyone involved there. Chelsea Donovan live for us this noon. Chelsea, thank you. Fayetteville police say a family altercation ended with one person dead. Officers say it happened in the 2300 block of Lake Avenue. A friend of the man who was hurt took him to the VA Medical Center nearby for treatment. It was the closest hospital. The driver stopped outside the medical center gates to wait for emergency personnel, but the man died waiting for treatment. No word on charges or the man's name at this hour.
Clouds will build through the afternoon, and we do have a chance of late afternoon and even evening thunderstorms. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at who has the best chance of storms here, but also the weather going on in the South, Elizabeth.
Yeah, I wanted to start with a big picture. Things are still really rough for folks in the Deep South. This is the same area where we ended up with strong thunderstorms, tornadoes yesterday, and we're seeing the same thing again today. You can see the red shaded area. That's a tornado watch. There have been a few tornado warnings, and you can see multiple severe thunderstorm warnings right now, the yellow boxes that are popping up. It's the stationary front that's creating these issues. And of course, it's stationary, so it's here for another day. Now, we're on the north side of this front, so we're not likely to see severe storms, but we may end up with some isolated thunderstorms this afternoon. You can see some cloud cover that's starting to build across Wake County right now. We'll see variably cloudy skies with those clouds really starting to thicken up as we get through the afternoon. Here we are at lunchtime, and you can see Futurecast showing those clouds that are starting to stream in from the south right now. This is 2 p.m. We move it ahead to 5 o'clock, and we'll pause here. You can see just a few isolated storms that pop up. The computer models all morning have been showing the bulk of these down in our southern counties, and that's what we're still seeing here at noon. You can see the potential late tonight, maybe of a few of those up around Roxborough or South Hill. But for the most part, these will be isolated and they'll be in our southern counties. So it's just a 30% chance of thunderstorms starting around 3 or 4 in the afternoon and wrapping up by around midnight or so. We'll likely see more of these again tomorrow. So we'll walk through Friday's timeline coming up.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, in the last hour or so, the U.S. Supreme Court upholding a law aimed at keeping Native American children with tribal families. In a 7-2 decision, the justices essentially affirms a 1978 law that gives preference to tribal families in cases of adoption. Three white families trying to adopt Native American children sued, claiming the law was based on race. Attorneys for the tribes maintain the law preserves tribal families, traditions, and cultures. Justice Amy Coney Barrett wrote the opinion for the majority, rejecting all the petitioner's challenges to that statute. Now, Justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito dissented, saying the ruling does a disservice to the rights and interests of Native American children. Again, that was a 7-2 decision upholding that statute.
Ken, thanks for that. The State Senate Elections Committee is expected to sign off on two bills that could have a major impact on the way we vote. One bill makes it harder to use same-day registration during early voting and requires mail-in ballots to be tossed out if it arrives after Election Day. Another bill would balance the makeup of the Board of Elections equally between political parties. A ban on transgender student athletes on women's sports teams in North Carolina is expected to reach the floor of the Senate. The new ban would stop students born as males from joining female teams. Lawmakers said they didn't want to stop female students from joining men's teams. The ban affects transgender student athletes in middle school through college.
Starting on Monday, UNC Health hospitals and clinics across the Triangle will ease most mask requirements for employees, patients, and visitors. UNC Health is transitioning to mask optional based on current CDC guidelines. However, masks are required in certain instances, such as patients who have symptoms of respiratory illnesses. They must wear masks. And teammates must also wear a mask when providing direct care to patients with respiratory symptoms. And patients who choose to mask can ask their provider to wear one as well. Well, it's not even summer, and some health officials in the U.S. are already looking ahead to the flu season. That's because data from Australia, where it's now winter, shows cases began increasing earlier this year. Scientists typically look to Australia to estimate how bad the flu will get here in the U.S. Cases in Australia began increasing sharply in early May. The number of cases in kids is also being watched. Doctors say more children in Australia appear to be getting sick than other age groups this year.
In less than an hour, President Biden is expected to announce measures that will protect people from hidden fees, specifically how Live Nation and Ticketmaster sell tickets. According to the White House, starting in September, the entertainment giants will give people the ability to see all those fees up front. That way, Americans don't have to worry about potential price increases late in the checkout process. The president had urged Congress to pass legislation targeting those hidden fees across multiple industries. A group of music publishers is suing Twitter for alleged copyright infringement. 17 music publishers accused Twitter of allowing its users to post music on its platform without permission. The lawsuit is seeking more than $250 million in damages for alleged copyright infringement of about 1,700 songs. Twitter is one of the only social media sites that does not have licensing arrangements for music.
New airplanes will soon come with added security to make it harder for passengers to break into the cockpit. The Federal Aviation Administration is requiring new airline planes made after mid-2025 to have a secondary cockpit barrier. The new barrier will be used when the cockpit door is opened during a flight. Pilots have advocated for the added security since 9/11. A House panel has voted to raise the mandatory retirement age for pilots from 65 to 67. The vote comes as the airline industry struggles to deal with a pilot shortage. Industry groups have pushed for raising the retirement age as airlines ramp up schedules and hiring after cutting back during the pandemic. The last time Congress raised the retirement age was in 2007, when it went from 60 to 65.
There is still time to register for the second annual Friends of Oberlin Village Heritage 5K. The event takes place Saturday, just in time to celebrate Juneteenth. WRL is a proud partner. This year's event will be held at Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary. Registration begins Saturday morning at 6:30. The race begins at 8. There's also a kids' dash at 9 a.m. And this year, the race welcomes black-owned businesses. So bring your payment method and enjoy food and visit their booths. You can celebrate Juneteenth with the city of Raleigh at Dix Park. Capital City Juneteenth celebration is Saturday, June 17th, starting at 1 p.m. at Dix Park. Bring your lawn chairs and enjoy this family-friendly event. WRL is a proud community partner.
New at noon, another downtown Raleigh building has been sold to a developer. The Episcopal Diocese of North Carolina announced today it sold the diocese office building for $9 million. The office is just a block from Nash Square on West Morgan Street. You can see on this map here. In a press release, the diocese said the sale was a result of several factors, including the changing landscape of Raleigh and the shift to a more remote workforce. Chicago-based Convexity Properties bought the building. It's a company known for mixed-use development. No word yet on what's next for this property.
And happening now in the WRL Live Center, we want to take you 250 miles above the Earth to the International Space Station. These are live pictures courtesy of NASA. Astronauts Woody Hobart and Steve Bowen have been at this now for about 3 hours. They're installing solar equipment on the International Space Station. They started around 9 o'clock this morning. It's a six-hour spacewalk to install all this equipment. It should be done around 3 o'clock later this afternoon. These parts that they're installing are about 60 by 20 feet, but, you know, in space, they weigh nothing. So they can carry those objects anywhere. But we'll continue to monitor this here in the WRL Live Center.
All right, Ken, now we'll take you halfway around Earth. Next at noon, a major drug bust in New Zealand, where the hidden meth was found and the record amount it was worth.
Also, fixing your own broken electronics. The state is making it possible for people to buy their own parts.
Plus, older people targeted by criminals. At 12:30, Five on Your Side offers ways to protect the most vulnerable people.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Police are searching for the person who shot two people near a hotel this morning. Police responded just before 3 a.m. to the Budgetel on New Bern Avenue. Michael Grace was there in the WRL Breaking News Tracker with what we've learned about the case.
Yeah, well, what we know so far, two people shot, one in the foot, taken to the hospital, is expected to be okay. The other man was actually treated right here on scene and later released. But this was a massive scene for investigators. And I want to get you to this video of what that scene looked like earlier this morning. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. You can see the entire hotel parking lot blocked off with crime tape. They had crime tape here and crime tape at another scene on Fraser Drive. But two focal points for these investigators. A room on the second floor in the hotel. You can see forensics going in and out of that room, taking pictures. And then that scene over on Fraser Drive that I mentioned. 19 different evidence markers over there, including some bullet casings scattered there on the ground that they had to process. So a lot for these investigators to go through this morning. And obviously the big question we're still working with Raleigh Watch Commander on is if they have any leads on that shooter. In Raleigh, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
Former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson could be banned from Parliament. A year-long report released this morning found Johnson deliberately misled lawmakers over breaches of his own COVID-19 lockdown rules. Johnson quit his role as a lawmaker last week after learning about this report. He denies any wrongdoing. Former lawmakers typically enjoy a parliamentary pass. However, Johnson could lose his. And six people are facing charges after a significant drug bust in New Zealand. Officials say they seized more than 1,500 pounds of methamphetamine found hidden in maple syrup containers. The seizure happened back in January as part of an operation that also involved Australian and Canadian police. The record amount of drugs was worth more than $150 million.
Nine women who accused Bill Cosby of sexual abuse have filed a new lawsuit against the comedian. The plaintiffs allege they were drugged and sexually assaulted by Cosby during encounters between 1979 and 1992. This was in Nevada. The lawsuit states Cosby used enormous power, fame, and prestige to isolate and abuse the women. The complaint comes just weeks after new laws regarding statute of limitations for most sexual assault cases took effect in Nevada. Cosby also faces lawsuits in other states, including New York and California. A 28-year-old woman is facing charges after police say she posed as a student at a Louisiana high school. Police say the woman used a fake ID along with a false passport and birth certificate to trick the school into admitting her. She and her mother were both charged with forging public records. It's unclear why the woman tried to enroll in the high school or how long she was in the school.
Lawmakers in Europe made history, passing the world's first regulations for artificial intelligence. The restrictions set limits on things like the use of facial recognition software and requiring AI companies to disclose more about their data behind their programs. The vote comes as the world struggles with ways to compile comprehensive rules.
If left uncontrolled, unregulated, and we are left unprotected without consequence, it will rewrite our understanding and perception of what is and what is not truth.
For the first time, really maybe ever, we're asking these tech companies to open up their black box and tell us how these systems work.
This week, senators on Capitol Hill attended the first of three information sessions to learn more about artificial intelligence. However, lawmakers in both parties are struggling to come up with an acceptable framework to regulate its use.
Dozens of states are introducing laws that will allow consumers to fix their own broken electronics. Minnesota is one state with a right to repair law. It requires manufacturers to let independent repair shops and people to buy parts and tools needed to fix their own devices. Some technicians say manufacturers often monopolize the market to make sure the parts are hard to find or ridiculously expensive.
The companies, they see value in making things that can't be repaired, and the consumers are forced to, you know, get rid of it and go buy the newest model.
Right to repair bills have passed in Connecticut, New York, Colorado, and Minnesota. Over 29 states, including us here in North Carolina, have introduced similar legislation this year.
The Special Olympics World Games gets underway this weekend in Germany. Members of the North Carolina delegation who are part of the USA team are already in Bremen, Germany. The group of North Carolina's Special Olympics athletes include Wake County's own Erin Cagle. She will be competing in artistic gymnastics. Over the last couple of days, Cagle and the team have been sightseeing and meeting other athletes. The opening ceremony for the World Games is set for Saturday. And by the way, the city of Raleigh hosted the Special Olympics World Games. That was back in 1999. For the first time in 75 years, the U.S. Open is happening in Los Angeles. You can watch all the action on WREL. Coverage begins tonight at 8 o'clock and will continue throughout the weekend. One player to watch always is LIV golfer Brooks Koepka, who actually won the PGA Championship earlier this year.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, we want to take you live to Denver, Colorado this noon hour. You can see thousands of people are there celebrating the NBA champion Denver Nuggets. This is the first time in franchise history, more than 40 years, this team is celebrating an NBA championship win. Of course, they took down the Miami Heat in five games. Nikola Jokic, the star of that team, was a franchise MVP. I'll probably say that it's an unofficial holiday in Denver because there is no work getting done in Denver because everybody's right here celebrating this NBA championship. And we could probably celebrate a little bit around here because it feels good out there, even though it's a little warm, but we'll take it. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking how our day is shaping up.
Starting to ease into that summertime pattern, but my goodness, we've had such wonderful weather all the way through the middle of June, and we look at next week, and it looks like our temperatures are going to be below normal again. Great day to be outside. Our humidity isn't terrible. It's not what it normally would be like in July and August, and some folks are out there, Longleaf Golf and Family Club, enjoying. We do have some clouds that are starting to build across the area, and those will thicken up as we get through the afternoon, but only a few folks will see scattered thunderstorms. 82 is our current temperature, and our dew point is 62. We typically think of dew points in the 50s as feeling very comfortable for this time of year. But our temperatures, you know, are climbing. We're going to see temperatures climbing to almost 90 degrees this afternoon. So it's the sort of thing, if you're standing in the sun, it feels hot. But if you can find a shady spot, that dew point at 62 makes it feel pretty comfortable as long as you're not directly in the sun. A little while ago, we talked about the stationary front that continues to fire up severe thunderstorms and tornadoes down here across parts of the deep south. I'm going to go over what they saw yesterday. And of course, we're still seeing that today, but we're on the north side of this, and because it's stationary, it isn't moving right now, so it's not headed our way. What we will see is some cloud cover that's blowing off some of those storms. You can see that coming up from the southwest, so a little bit of high thin cloud cover, and then the cumulus clouds that are starting to pop up. Those are the brighter white clouds, sort of look like popcorn starting to pop up. That's where we could see a few isolated showers or thunderstorms. We'll take future cast on through the afternoon. You can see some cloud cover and then an isolated thunderstorm or two. This one shows up between Golds Hillsborough and Clinton at about 5 o'clock. I wouldn't take any of this too literally. Really, what we can take from this is it looks like from Raleigh southward is where we'd have the best chance of seeing storms, and that very few of us will see them. Notice at 9 o'clock, there are a few up closer to the Virginia line, but really our coverage from the computer models for today has been really pretty minimal. We're going with 30% chance. Right now it's 77 in Roxborough and 79 in South Hill. Very pleasant there. It's 80 in Fayetteville, 82 in Clinton, and 81 in Rocky Mount and in Goldsboro. Around town, we'll climb into the upper 80s in Raleigh and Durham. We'll see high of 91 in Fayetteville. We're checking out that humidity out there for us today, too. Not bad. I mean, 62 puts us right here at tolerable. Doesn't get us quite to comfy, but, you know, we're on the lower end there. When it really feels miserable is when we're way up closer to tropical, which we may be on Monday. But the reason for that is some rain that will roll through. Look at what happens over the weekend, Friday or Saturday and Sunday. We are back into the 50s. Temperatures will be warm, but again, it's not going to feel outrageously muggy, which is great, especially for Father's Day weekend. At the beaches over the weekend, our highs will be in the low 80s with mostly sunny skies. We'll see that again on Sunday. And isolated storms, not out of the question. Pretty in the mountains this weekend too, 82 in Asheville, and then low to mid 70s in some of those higher elevations around Boone and Linville. For us, again, 89 today, 91 tomorrow, 88 Saturday, 91 for Father's Day. On Saturday, we have Juneteenth celebrations going on in Raleigh at Dix Park. We're going to have the specific forecast for that coming up in just a little while. Juneteenth itself is Monday. And at that point, we transition to a bit of a wetter pattern, and temperatures will be cooler next week, especially for the first day of summer on Wednesday.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. A local Raleigh woman was left stuffed after she was diagnosed with probable ALS at just 33 years old. Tonight at 5, we hear from her 9 years into her diagnosis and her mission to run a marathon in every state, how she's inspiring others one marathon at a time.
Walking from different Raleigh neighborhoods can be a challenge since many pockets of the city aren't connected. Tonight at 6, WRL data trackers investigate where the sidewalks end and the dangers associated with that. Also still ahead this noon, this Father's Day weekend could break some records spending-wise. If you haven't gotten Dad a gift yet, don't worry, we have some of the best deals for Dad coming up.
Also ahead, some of the best ways to keep the kids entertained on a hot or rainy summer day, where you can go to pass the time. Father's Day spending could break records this year, but we have some advice for those of you who are still shopping for a present, those people that wait till the last minute.
Yeah, but Jen Sullivan explains how you can celebrate the special occasion without overspending.
Showering Dad with love this Father's Day? You're not alone. Spending is expected to reach nearly $23 billion this year. The National Retail Federation says that would be an all-time high. It's predicting consumers will spend a record $196.23 on average. But celebrating Father's Day doesn't have to be expensive.
There is no better time to spend your money wisely than on the men in your life that you love.
Jessica Allen from the website Living Well, Spending Less has some tips to help you save money while still expressing your love and appreciation for Dad. Number one, be intentional. As you might expect, some of the most popular gifts this year are clothing, gift cards, and personal care items. But Allen says consider crafting a heartfelt, personalized gift instead. It may be cheaper, and it's certainly more thoughtful than a store-bought item.
Get really specific. Do you have a movie buff? Can you plan early to go see a summer blockbuster?
Number two, ditch the restaurant and host a grilling session. Buy a cut of meat or veggie that he loves. Have it ready for a weekend celebration and a playlist of all of Dad's favorite songs.
Just ask him, would you like to grill for us or would you like us to grill for you? You're going to save so much money when you plan and have that beautiful meal at home.
Number three, plan a memorable experience. Take Dad on a hike, picnic, fishing trip, or any activity that he enjoys.
For these men, love is spelled T-I-M-E. And so how can you carve out some time in your weekend to spend some quality time with the fathers in your life?
That was Jen Sullivan reporting. Here's another idea. Consider a group gift. If you have siblings or other family members who also want to celebrate Father's Day, you chip in, pool your resources, and get something more significant and meaningful.
Coming up, a motel in Cumberland County with a history of crime must shut down, and other businesses may soon have to follow suit. We're live with the efforts to rid the areas of crime.
Also, hear your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
We told you about the Coliseum Inn on Gillespie Street in Cumberland County being shut down this week. According to the sheriff's office, it's been the scene of crime and violence for the past several years.
WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays talked with Sheriff Ennis Wright, who says there are other motels along the Gillespie Street corridor that may suffer the same fate. And we're going to get with Gilbert here very shortly to talk a little more about that.
Well, are accessory dwelling units the key to the affordable housing crisis in Raleigh? Homeowners, city leaders, and business owners are working to find solutions to boost construction for these types of houses. More than 100 people came together for an event called Raleigh Pitch Fest last night. Business owners pitched ways to add smaller homes to help the affordable housing situation. The plan is to put these tiny homes on the same property of a main house, and this will increase value, which means people will pay more in property tax. However, homeowners will be able to provide a place for others to live. We spoke to one of the men who pitched the idea.
The benefit of what we're doing is that they can reach out to us. We'll actually put the unit there. They don't lift a finger.
And the idea of these homes is to rent them out to a family member or a new person in town. There are guidelines such as meeting size requirements and building in specific areas of the city. Earlier this year, the city implemented a fast track program to build these smaller homes.
All right, now I have a chance to get back to WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays about that Gillespie Street corridor. Gilbert?
Yeah, Jeff, we're talking about the Coliseum Inn. This is it right here. And this is the big sign over here that is out on the property right now telling everybody to stay away. The property under abatement by Sheriff Ennis Wright. Now, the sheriff says that he's not in the business of shutting down businesses, but when you have crimes that he says that are occurring on places like this spilling into nearby neighborhoods, then he's got to put public safety first. Now, as a matter of fact, photojournalist Mike Joyner and I did a ride-along with the sheriff and his chief deputy in June of last year. And that gives you an idea of how much effort has gone into collecting enough evidence so they get to the point of ordering a shutdown. Now, we rode around the Coliseum Inn and saw several examples of what the sheriff considered questionable activities. Now, during the course of the investigation leading to the shutdown, there have been 20 homicides, 28 overdoses, and about a dozen cases of human trafficking, all of them here at the Coliseum Inn. The sheriff hopes that shutting this motel down sends a message to other motel operators in the area with similar issues.
We're not in the business shutting down businesses. You know, everybody has a right to earn a living, but also there's the people that live around those businesses have a right to live in peace and not fear.
And that's exactly right. That's what the sheriff is saying. You know, he says that the operators here have been warned for some time, and now they have got to the point where this is the final thing that they had to do. They shut this down actually on Friday. And, you know, I tell you what, Jeff, it's a tough call for the sheriff. He says he's not trying to shut down businesses again, but he's hoping that the other motel owners take heed. And as a matter of fact, he said that some of the other motels in this area, there are about three more that he's got his eye on, they have reached out to the sheriff's office saying, what can we do to stop the criminal activity from some of the people, just a handful of folks who are checking in and causing all the problems.
Hey, Gilbert, those are astounding numbers coming from that one location. Live in Fayetteville, Gilbert, thank you. Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Lee, Halifax, Sampson, and Franklin counties. Two towns in our area received state grants to improve their downtowns. City of Clinton in Sampson County received $350,000. Franklinton in Franklin County received $230,000. The money comes from the Rural Transformation Grant Fund and is earmarked to help downtown areas foster growth and prosperity. There's an affordable way to get your child's health checked and get them up to date on their vaccines this summer. The Halifax County Health Department is offering vaccines for children entering pre-K. Appointments are available Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Call the health department to schedule an appointment. Sanford is ironing out the details on a utility merger with Pittsboro to provide water and wastewater services. Sanford already supplies these services to other towns in the area. The two towns should come to an agreement by August. Several projects would need to be completed before the merge. These would help to be paid for by Pittsboro's utility payers. there would be no negative impact to Sanford's utility payers. The merge would give the towns more options in case of a water emergency.
They're your parents, grandparents, next-door neighbors, friends, and they're often the targets of crimes. We are talking about older adults. Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur is live to share how you can protect the older adult in your life. Keely.
Hi, Michelle. Yeah, very serious topic, but today is all about awareness for Worldwide Elder Abuse Awareness Day. Here are some stats for you. There are 1 million North Carolinians living in the state right now who are 65 years or older. This is a very vibrant group, but they're also often targeted. There are 360,000 incidents of financial elder abuse every year in the U.S. that totals to $4.8 billion stolen every single year. Here's some things that I want people to look out for to spot financial elder abuse. First, check and see if a caregiver or relative is seeking access to a loved one's possessions or accounts. Changes to financial practices like opening up new credit cards can also be a really big red flag. And a financial agent isn't following a loved one's wishes, also big red flag right there. If you notice any of these things, here's what you can do. You can contact Adult Protective Services, call 911 when appropriate, or call a lawyer or see if you qualify for legal aid. Of course, there are so many other ways that elder abuse applies to people beyond the finances. Emotional abuse, physical abuse. Coming up on WRAL at 5:45, we're going to talk about ways to spot that type of abuse, what you need to look for, how you can report it, and also how you can check a safety rating for a nursing home or a facility in our area. Michelle?
So many important tips on such an important day. Keely Arthur live for us this noon. Thanks, Keely.
This is something a lot of us rely on when we're sick. Health insurance. How Americans really feel about paying for it every year.
And knowing your health history. Why doctors say everyone should take steps to learn about your family's health. Most Americans still like their insurance, even though they have to run into possible trouble with their policy they have in the past year. A new report out today finds that 58% of adults experienced at least one problem in the last year. Those problems include insurers denying care, providers not being covered, or policies paying less than expected. Still, 81% of insured adults said their health coverage was excellent or good.
Also, Michelle, knowing what health issues run in your family can help prevent or treat chronic diseases. Getting together with your family to celebrate holidays like Father's Day can be a good time to check up on your family health history. Doctors say it is crucial to be aware of any history of cardiovascular disease since it impacts nearly half of all American adults. It's also useful to know if certain cancers run in your family. That's because initial screenings may be recommended due to an increased risk. For example, men are 2 to 3 times more likely to get prostate cancer if their father or another close relative has had the disease.
Your own family history is really important, and it's often overlooked. It oftentimes informs decision-making with you and your healthcare team, whether it relates to certain screening tests that you might be qualifying for, or managing chronic diseases in a different way if certain problems run in your family.
The key is to establish a good relationship with your doctor and review your family history during annual physicals.
Coming up, not only does our smart shopper help us save money at the grocery store, she also has the scoop on summer fun savings. Pay Prosser joins us after the break with a deal that could help keep your child active.
And you wouldn't want to put these drawings on your refrigerator. We'll tell you what makes this art so valuable.
If you're looking for a way to keep your kids entertained on hot or rainy days this summer, we have you covered. We have a deal for you. WRL Smart Shopper Faye Prosser joins us now. Faye, a popular bowling program is back again this year.
It sure is, Michelle. So the Kids Bowl Free Summer Bowling Program for Kids allows kids to get 2 free games per day all summer long. It's valid at participating bowling centers including a number in the triangle. Now, you'll need to register the kids on the kidsbowlfree.com website. And ages vary by location, usually somewhere around 2 to 15 years old. And shoe rental is still required at most places. You can see the details for all of the bowling lanes that are taking place in your area over on the column I have for you on the Smart Shopper page or at the kidsbowlfree.com website.
Bowling is so much fun, but after all of that bowling, Faye, the kids will certainly be hungry. What grocery deals do you have for us this week?
I got you covered on those as well. So you'll find strawberries, a kid favorite, a one-pound package, $1.79, at both Aldi and Lidl for my Lidl members. Asparagus is a phenomenal deal at Food Lion, only 99 cents a pound. And chicken wings in a family pack, only $1.99 a pound over at Aldi. Plus whole chicken, 99 cents a pound at Food Lion, and Hatfield bacon in the one-pound container. Buy one, get one free for only $3.50 each at Harris Teeter. Plus, Harris Teeter has their pasta sauce in a 24-ounce jar on sale for $1. You'll also find, this isn't a grocery deal, but it is a great deal, Arm & Hammer laundry detergent in select sizes on sale for $1.99 at Walgreens through this Saturday. But there is a $1 off Walgreens digital coupon, making it only 99 cents through Saturday. Great buy. You can see all the deals I've got for you over in the Smart Shopper column.
You'll need that laundry detergent for the socks after bowling, so that's a good deal. And for more smart shopping tips from Faye, go to WREL.com and look for the consumer tab and search Smart Shopper. Faye, thank you so much, as always.
Thanks, Michelle.
And our temperatures have been running up all morning long, and we've reached the noon hour. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRM Severe Weather Center. If anybody was thinking about running, maybe earlier would have been better.
You know, we're almost into that summer pattern. I mean, our dew point's down in the low 60s, and that true summer pattern would put us in the low 70s and make it feel really, really nasty outside. But it feels muggy out there. I was out a little while ago. We're starting to see the clouds build a little bit. This is a live look at Goldsboro. You can see Apex as well. This is Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And, of course, our Durham newsroom there at the DBAP. We're starting to see some high thin clouds building in, but we'll also see some cumulus clouds, those big puffy ones that could produce some thunderstorms. We'll take one more look at the big picture. This stationary front, of course, it produced some severe weather yesterday and a good bit of it. Seeing the same thing again. The front is stationary and it's just not going anywhere. So they continue to see a number of severe thunderstorm warnings right now. And also, so far this morning, there have been at least a handful of additional tornado warnings. This is a look at the last 24 hours. And we've seen at least 185 or more wind damage reports. You can see those there in the white. The blue circles are where we've had hail reports and at least 7 tornado reports as well. We'll zoom in. And you can see a lot of this was actually in the southern part of Georgia and some of that back into Alabama as well. And we may see more of this, too, as those newer reports start to come in. So just a rough couple of days for folks there. We take a look at futurecast for us. It's going to be a bit more quiet. We'll stop it here at about 5 o'clock. You can see just a handful of showers and storms. That front is going to stay to the south. It's not coming here. We're not likely to see any severe storms. Here's 7 p.m. Again, just a handful of storms come through this evening and then die down overnight. And then tomorrow, we're going to see the same story. So this is 7 a.m. tomorrow. We should start off with some sunshine and we'll see the clouds building through the afternoon. There's lunchtime. And then into the day tomorrow, again, really just anywhere, we'll have just little popcorn cells that pop up that could produce some brief heavy rain or some brief blustery winds. But a lot of us won't see it either day. It's just not going to be a whole lot of rain associated with that. And we do get into a wetter pattern potentially next week, but it does stay nice and dry for the weekend. 40% chance of some showers and thunderstorms for tomorrow. It's about a 30% chance today. Tomorrow's high 91. Saturday and Sunday, we have a completely different air mass that moves in. It still will be hot, but it won't be nearly as humid. We're back into the 50s for dew points. So Saturday and Sunday both look nice for getting out. If you're headed to the Juneteenth celebration, which is actually Saturday, Juneteenth is on Monday, but the celebration at Dix Park is on Saturday. We'll see warm temperatures, but in the shade, it should feel very nice, low humidity. And that's going to be 1 p.m. through 6 p.m. And of course, we are proud community partners with that. Father's Day on Sunday should be dry and a little warm at 91, but relatively comfortable with that lower humidity. Right now, the tropics are looking very quiet, but we're looking ahead to next week. It looks like potentially there's a wave that comes off the coast of Africa. So we bump to about a 6 60% chance of this becoming a tropical depression. One of the computer models wants to spin something up too around the Caribbean and send it potentially up the coast of the United States. But there's no real consistency with those. So just wanted to let you know, we're keeping our eye on the tropics. Once we get into Monday for Juneteenth, we start a new pattern. It's going to be a little wetter in the afternoon, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, and then that chance of rain continues Tuesday and Wednesday, which is the first day of summer. That's going to hold our temperatures down a good bit.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Well, you might think this is a piece of lint or a crumb from your favorite snack. No, it's not. This is a one-of-a-kind luxury item, believe it or not, the company behind the creation after the break.
And here's a look at your winning Powerball numbers, 3, 20, 36, 42, 64. The Powerball is 4, the Power Play is 2. A few clouds over Lake Gaston right now. It is a mild day and getting hotter in that area. Imagine a little breeze off that water, just a little bit cooler to our north, but just touching 80 there right now and getting hotter in the triangle. We wrap things up now with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. A father and son charged in a shooting in a Raleigh neighborhood should have court appearances this afternoon. That shooting happened last night on Orchard Trace Way off Rock Quarry Road. A man is in the hospital with life-threatening injuries. 41-year-old Ricardo Johnson and 19-year-old Ricardo Johnson Jr. face a number of charges.
The state Senate Elections Committee will likely sign off on two bills that could have a major impact on the way we vote. One bill makes it harder to use same-day registration during early voting and requires mail-in ballots to be tossed out if it arrives after Election Day. Another bill would balance the makeup of the Board of Elections of equally between political parties.
A ban on transgender student athletes on women's sports teams in North Carolina is expected to reach the Senate floor. The new ban would stop students assigned male at birth from joining female teams. Lawmakers said they didn't want to stop students assigned female at birth from joining men's teams. The ban affects transgender student athletes in middle school through college.
There's a new mini purse so small you actually need a microscope to see it. Art collective Mischief unveiled the tiny crumb-sized handbag modeled after a popular Louis Vuitton accessory. According to reports, the item is not an official collaboration with the luxury fashion brand. It was exclusively made for rapper Pharrell Williams' Jupiter auction and will be up for grabs through June 27th. Well, how much would you spend for one of these drawings by a child? $5? $25? Well, try upwards of $13,000. That's because the drawings are from King Charles III as a child. They're going up for sale as part of a collection of royal memorabilia. The collection was believed to be done when the king was about six. The auction is set to take place tomorrow, and the drawings could be sold again up for upwards of $13,000.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
We have a look at our pet of the day right now. This is Sissy, a 10-year-old Chihuahua, sweetheart and stay-at-home kind of girl. Sissy may be diabetic and blind, but she doesn't allow disabilities to slow her down. This special girl learns her way around quickly. She loves people and also gets along with other dogs. To give Sissy a forever home where she'll have consistency to thrive, you can visit hopeanimals.org.
Pixar is known for its movies. However, it's been falling behind with its latest movies. Today on WRL News at 4, why the studio is hoping its new movie can put them back on top for family film.
Elizabeth made a good point about finding some shade. If you're in the sun,
yeah,
it's going to feel hot out there today.
Yes.
So find some shade if you're headed out.
And drink some water. NBC News Daily is next on WRL. Your next local news update is in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. We'll have this live look at downtown Raleigh as the clouds build in this afternoon. Have a great day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.